Start your engines. Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center, Orlando's direct diamond importer and the exclusive jeweler of the Orlando Magic, hits the road now.
Turkoglu catches the pass up top. Rondo nudges into him. Ito with the ball, 2:50 left in the game. Over to Olsen, he'll jack 4-3. It's up, it's in, just like that, and that might just do it. The big triple by Rafer Olsen, his third of the game, and the Magic lead by 20, 98-78. Get ready, we might be going to Cleveland.
Here's Rafer again.
Feeling it, three-point shot, money. Little guy jumps down to the other end. Magic lead by three. Rafer Olsen with 26 points on the night.
This is the greatest show that I've ever seen Rafer Olsen put on since he came out of AAU and since he was skipped the Maroon.
71-67. 4 minutes left. Here's Rafer. Runs in Odom. Got by him. Powers up over Gasol. Put it up and in. Are you kidding me? Both 6 foot 10 inches down there, and Rafer took it right into the teeth of Odom and Gasol and put it up and in. Magic lead by six. Rafer 8 of 10 from the floor tonight.
Now here's your host, Dante Marcatelli.
Ah, the butterflies, they are a-fluttering. I got goosebumps. All those highlights, Rafer Olsen, that means in about 30 seconds, we're going to go to the phones, and we're going to hear from the former Magic point guard. This is going to be a terrific show. I am very excited about this. Rafer Olsen is going to join us here on Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center. I want to get right to it and have as much time as possible. Heartbreaker last night in Madison Square Garden. The Magic fall to the New York Knicks, 108-103. Very difficult basketball game. Maybe it's good to have a diversion here today and talk to the former Magic point guard in Rafer Olsen. Be there live at the Amway Center tomorrow as the Magic host the Golden State Warriors. You can cheer on your team as they battle Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, and the rest of the Warrior bunch. Get your tickets now at OrlandoMagic.com, and you can see the Magic take on Golden State. Well, as everyone knows, it's the 30th anniversary of Orlando Magic basketball, and we also know it's the 10-year anniversary since that Magic team 08-09 that went to the NBA Finals and took on the Los Angeles Lakers. And the starting point guard for that team, the team that helped us get there, we don't make it to the NBA Finals if it's not for this guy, Rafer Olsen, kind enough to spend a few minutes with us. I'm really looking forward to catching up with you, Rafer, and I guess how are you? And let everyone know what you're up to now and where you're living at.
How you doing, man? Thanks for having me. Yeah. I'm doing great, man. I'm living in Houston. Obviously, that's where I was traded from when I right. came to Orlando 10 years ago.
Right.
And I just kept my house here and you know, raised my family and, you know, enjoying life. I part-time work with Timberwolves, do some part-time scout work with them. I have a 10-year-old son who I coach as well. I train youth basketball. I'm always in the gym and working and doing something with the basketball.
Is it hard for a 10-year-old to be in the shadows of Skip to my Lou and all the things?
You know what it is. I can imagine all these kids,
right?
All these men that play in the NBA and their sons. It's hard, man. And the funny thing about my son is that he doesn't watch it. Tape of me, any footage of me. He won't YouTube me. He'll watch Lillard, Curry, Paul, all of the guards today, but he won't watch his dad.
Is that right? Is that right? He won't. Yeah. He wants to see the guys that are playing now.
he wants to watch the now.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, speaking with Rafer Olsen, I'm real excited to catch up with you, Rafer. Well, first of all, what comes to mind? I cannot believe it. This year we've had fun reminiscing on that run. And first of all, 10 years. I mean, where does 10 years go? Can you believe it's already been 10 years since that incredible ride?
Not at all. It goes by fast. In the blink of an eye, 10 years go by. And you wouldn't think one of the greatest moments of my basketball life, and I can imagine it was the greatest moment in all those guys, all my colleagues, my teammates,
sure,
and coaches that were on that team. It was the greatest time in their lives to be in the NBA Finals and make that run. It went by so fast.
Well, now take us back to that day, February 19th, 2009. You're playing with Houston, as you mentioned. Magic pull off a three-team trade. General manager at the time, Otis Smith. An unbelievable trade. Imagine they had just lost Jameer Nelson about 5 or 6 games earlier. I think they went 3-3 without him. How did you find out? And kind of just take us back to your thoughts on what you thought about joining Dwight, Stan, and coming to Orlando.
You know, the day, I never even told anybody. It was I was mad at the Rockets, not for trading me. for having me practice first and then train.
Is that right?
Yeah. Like, that's I never told them that. Like, I had to get on the plane and come to Lando. I was just that they knew all along they were going to train. They had me practice.
How about that?
I practiced my behind off, you know, and then they trained me. And then they, you know, I could have been in Orlando at about 11 a.m. that morning. I could have.
That's right. Oh, yeah, I could have got there.
You know, that's the only thing I was mad about. I wasn't mad about being traded. You know, one thing about being traded for most players in the NBA, it's always a beauty and thrill if someone else wants you.
Yeah, that's a great point.
So at the end of the day, when I got there, man, look, I was so excited to reunite with Stan Van Gundy. I already knew the offense. I already knew what was expected. I already knew what practice would be like. I already knew his voice. the good thing about coming to play with Dwight was I just finished playing with another great center, with Yao Ming. So I had no problem playing with a dominant center. I had no problem being able to get him the ball. The only issue with me was how quick I could get acclimated with the rest of the guys, not Dwight. It was the rest of the guys being able to coexist with them and find their rhythm and where they like the ball and, you know, get up and down the floor with those guys.
Boy, that's terrific insight. And I guess how much did that help you, Rafer, knowing Stan's system, having played with Yao, knowing the demands of a big guy that's going to want the basketball? How much did that all help you get acclimated? You hit the ground running here. If it took you a couple of games to get going, I don't remember that being the case.
It might have took me two games.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
It took me two games. But, you know, it made life easier. You know, like I said, it's one of the lost arts in basketball is being able to throw a post pass. You know, it's a lot of guys in the NBA today, even when I played, they still struggle with throwing the ball in the post.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So for me, it was easy to throw the post. The only difficult thing I was.
And at the right time, right? And to get it to him at
the right
time.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah, exactly. The only part I had to get used to was that, unlike Yao, Dwight was athletic, and he loved to get the lobs. And that's one thing the Mavericks thrived on. The Magic thrived on before I came there, that they loved throwing the lob to Dwight. I had to remember that Dwight is not Yao. Throw that ball up there.
Yeah, right,
he can go get it.
Right.
You know, but just knowing Stan and everything, that made life easy for me. I knew how demanding he was of us, you know, make sure we're in tune to the scouting report, the detail, everything, you know. So I already, it was just a matter of coming here and just let's get right to it. And one other thing that helped me too is all those players I played with, they welcomed me with open arms, and it was no animosity. Everyone was just excited about me coming, and coach handed me the ball and told me to run his team, and it was fascinating. The amazing and shocking thing playing with Hedo was that his playmaking ability.
Right.
So when I started playing at the games and practice started going by, I realized Hedo can really see the floor. Hedo can make plays. Hedo's big enough when he's coming to pick and roll. So then I had to think back to playing with McGrady. And McGrady was one of the best winning classes and star players who could score, but he can also see the whole entire court because of his length and height for the position. So I got back to playing with being able to play off of Tahito, because I remember playing with Tracy McGrady.
Right.
One thing about Rashard, I knew it was so easy to play Rashard because I know he could pick and pop. Then I know all the time if I do run a pick and roll with Rashard and they switch, I forgot about the whole other side of the court. I knew to just throw that ball back down there to Rashard because there's no way a smaller man could stay with Rashard when he turns over his right shoulder in the post. And he was just a tough cover. Again, one of the guys 6'10", could play inside, outside. That's a tough cover for most power forwards at that time. Now, today, it might be an easier cover because, you know, we're in positionless basketball.
Right, right.
You know, you got guys that can really guard and play the same way Rashard played. But those two guys, and they were so unselfish. They were so unselfish. Hedo could have averaged like 20, 22 points a game for that team. But he was so unselfish and willing. He would find Petrus. He'll find me. He'll find Dwight. He'll find Courtney. He'll find all of us on that three-point line as he's come off that high pick and roll.
Oh, come on now, Rafer. This stuff is too good. Hang in there. We're not going to let you go just yet. We got much more with Rafer Alston, former Magic point guard, as we reminisce on the Orlando Magic run to the finals during that 08 2008-09 NBA season. Be there live at the Amway Center when the Magic hosts the Philadelphia 76ers Monday, March 25th at 7 p.m. You can cheer on your team as they battle Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, and the rest of the Sixers. Get your tickets now at OrlandoMagic.com. You can see the Magic play the Sixers. And also, you can get your tickets for tomorrow night, the Magic hosting the Golden State Warriors. More with Rafer Olson. Skip to my Lou when we return in just a moment.
When it comes to the best diamonds at the best prices in Florida, Magic fans choose International Diamond Center. It's why IDC has earned the title Exclusive Jeweler of the Orlando Magic year after year. IDC dominates the competition every day with a massive inventory of hand-selected diamonds, literally thousands of designer rings, an unparalleled selection of fashion jewelry, the guaranteed best values in America, and the strongest warranties in the jewelry industry. Learn more at shopidc.com/gomagic, where Magic fans shop for jewelry.
Chick-fil-A has teamed up with the Magic to reward fans with free original chicken sandwiches. If the Magic hit five or more three-pointers in a home game, everyone in attendance of that game will win a free original chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A.
Left corner, that's 48-43. Got it to go.
Right there. People up front.
All you have to do is take your ticket stub or your redemption offer in the Magic app at any participating Central Florida location for a free original chicken sandwich. For official rules, visit OrlandoMagic.com/Chick-fil-A.
You're listening to Magic Drive Time.
Welcome back to Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center. Exciting news, Magic fans and pasta lovers. Olive Garden and the Orlando Magic have teamed up for a delicious giveaway. When the Magic make three or more dunks during a home game, everyone in attendance receives an offer for free soup, salad, and breadsticks. Just look for a text code during or after the game to redeem. Grab your tickets for the opportunity to score this mouth-watering deal, then show off a few sweet dunks of your own at Olive Garden. Rafer Olson, 10 years since that finals run, 08-09. And I guess, Rafer, just talk about Dwight Howard and the connection. How were you able to connect with him so quickly? And what were those conversations like? And, you know, we think about Dwight now and he's had injuries, but was there a more dominant player in the NBA than Dwight Howard at that time?
He was just a different type of force down there. Like I said, he like playing with Yao, to me, Yao was one of the most dominant low post big men.
Yeah.
You know, because you know, Yao was an all-star all the years I played with him, and after, even before I got to the Houston Rockets. Well, Dwight posed a different type of big man. He was so athletic, so strong. So, you know, he could run up and down the court like a deer. You know, he was just, it was different. It almost was like it was a small forward in a center's body. That's how right. Dwight was playing back then. Like I said, I just knew to get the ball to him. There's no way no center could really keep him from doing what he wanted to do. You know, I just knew to get the ball. I said, the only thing I struggled with him was throwing the lob. I had to remember not that it's not Yao. And just throw him the lob. Throw the ball up there. Sometimes he'd get upset at me. Even coaches would get upset at me. Like, wait, throw that ball up there. When I used to go in there for my teardrop, he's like, man, throw that ball up there. He can get it. So, but he was another one. At that time, the beauty of Dwight, again, he was another guy that allowed us to be us. You know, he never was a guy that was at that time when he could have been. He wasn't. Throw me the ball in here, give me the rock. It's like he allowed us, if we shot a three line, he allowed us to be us. You know, and a lot of people don't understand about star players, and a lot of star players on other teams, sometimes they'll get a little upset about if a lot of guys are just taking shots without them touching that ball first. But Dwight wasn't like that. Dwight was the one that, he was a star player at the time that, you know, he didn't mind us taking that three, you know, and driving and penetrating and playing our game, you know. Another thing about Dwight made coming to practice every day and coming to work every day, he made it so fun. He was so upbeat. He was always smiling, always laughing. And, you know, obviously all of us seen the change in him since he left Orlando.
Right.
He wasn't his joyful, upbeat self the rest of his career. But then it was a thrill to get up in the morning and come get to practice and drive over to practice because you know Dwight was so – he'll come in, smile, laugh, and he just – if you were having a bad day, once Dwight walked in the locker room, you weren't having a bad day anymore.
Boy, that's great insight, Rafer. And I've never heard anyone put it that way. You know, you get from a national perspective in the outsiders, he smiles too much. The guy doesn't want to win bad enough. You played with him. You know darn well.
No, he wants to win. People look at his free throw shooting.
Right.
You know, and I played with him, and I could tell you, late in the game, if the game was on the line, we cringe because we know that they're gonna foul him, and either he's gonna make one or he's not gonna make any at all. You know, that was the give and take of having them in down the stretch of those games.
Right.
But throughout the game, we don't throw that ball to him. It didn't matter. He's going to even dunk and score. But he would get to practice early and stay after. He'll work with Patrick Ewing. He'll stay after and work with Patrick Ewing. He was a relentless worker. Him and Yao Ming were kind of similar with their work ethic. Yao would come to practice. If we had practice at 11, Yao been at 9 to 15, and he's already in the lather. He's already in the sweat working. And Dwight was the same way. Dwight was a hard worker. He worked relentless on the street, though, unfortunately. It wasn't dropping, but it wasn't like he wasn't working.
That's interesting. But he allowed you guys to be you, because you're right. You see, today's game is dominated by stars and stars that need the basketball in their hands. That's kind of another dynamic that made this whole thing work, too, isn't it?
Definitely. We were able to play our game. You know, he allowed us to be his supporting cast, and that's what we were. And it kept the floor space for him when we did throw the ball in there for him to operate. If we weren't hitting them threes in that, then they could sag in there on him. And he wouldn't have no room to operate. I don't think we'd go far if he didn't allow us to be us and we didn't complement his game by being able to knock down that shot, that outside shot. And then as you guys saw as we were making our run, I remember one time in Philly when we played without him, we were in such a rhythm that even when they got up close to him, I was able to go around Andre Miller and make plays for other guys. He was able to mix it up. Rashad mixed it up. Gortat even played a tremendous game. We played game 6 down there when people thought we were going to end up playing game 7, but it never got to game 7 against the Philadelphia 76ers.
Well, Rafer, this is unbelievable. I'm really enjoying catching up with you. I guess the last thing I want to ask you is, David Steele always talks about catching lightning in a bottle. And there are some NBA teams, and we'll find out who they are here down the stretch, that will catch lightning in a bottle and maybe make a finals run or something like that. But how did you guys caught light? I think you're the perfect example of that for those final, 23 games that you played, and 29 games and then 23 in the postseason. Just catching lightning in a bottle in big shot. There were big shot after big shot. Rashard against the Cavs, Hedo Turkoglu, Philadelphia. You hit big shots. I mean, right? Is that a kind of a good way to explain that?
Oh, definitely. If it's one time you want to, if you want to, like a team, one time you want to hit on all cylinders is when you're making that playoff push and that run. It's just like college teams in the March Madness. You can be a 20-12 team, but if you ever wanted to get hot, it's that run right there. So when we were able to just play our game. It was times where we even dropped the game on our own home floor. We didn't waver. We didn't get upset. We went right back to work the next day with a workmanlike ethic. And we just had the one thing I remember so much about those guys is the unbelievable belief we had in each other.
Yeah,
we didn't care if Courtney shot the ball. We didn't care if Petra subbed in and took a lot of shots. We just knew and believed that every time one of us shot that ball, it was going in.
And that's rare, isn't it?
No, it's rare. I've been on a lot of teams, and sometimes you would throw the ball. I was a player like that. Before, at one point in my career, when I was shooting the three ball, when they used to double team some guys and they kick it out to me for three, the other team, they're like, man, that's not going in.
Yeah, right.
You know, I struggled shooting the ball.
Had to work on that, sure, you know? Sure.
Yeah, like I said, When Dwight went out, we went to that game 6. We it was no doubt in my mind we were going to finish Philadelphia off in Philly. We weren't coming back here for game 7. When we went to game 7 to Boston, we had no doubt in my mind we was going to blitz them.
Is that right?
No doubt.
So you knew that.
Say we blitzed them.
Oh, my goodness.
We had a large lead on them early in that game. And we had no doubt. It was no doubt in my mind. We were so loose. We were so ready. We weren't ready about the Garden crowd. We were ready for the antics, just in case they don't put the heat on our locker room. We were ready for
right,
all that.
Right. Exactly. And then everyone talked about LeBron. They said, well, this team can't get past LeBron. And then you steal game 1, and it took a miracle to take game 2.
I'll tell you this.
And you never let that go back to Cleveland, did you?
We should have swept them.
How about that? Wow.
We should have swept them. First of all, it was a bad matchup for them. It was a bad matchup for them. First of all, they had no one to guard Dwight. And then they had no one. Who were they going to put on Lewis? And then who were they going to put on Turkoglu?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Right?
Here's the X factor to that whole series. That whole series, I told Coach, I will not let Mo Williams
play like an all-star that series.
Did you? You went up to him and took that
no,
on your...
No doubt about it. Don't even worry about him. Only thing, I just didn't want to let him get going with it. Mo had a nice jump shot. And I was going to make sure I close out on him, and I wasn't going to overhelp. And only a couple of times in a couple of games that series, I would overhelp, and he got one. But other than that, he was not going to play like an all-star.
Rafer, he was a non-factor. He was a complete non-factor, yeah. And he was all-star.
He struggled that series.
Yeah, you're right.
He struggled. So they you know, and again, then they, I mean, we were hitting the, yeah. So LeBron doesn't hit that miraculous shot. They're swept.
How about that?
That's and, then he doesn't shake our hand. And
absolutely. And then the rest is history. You're exactly right. Yeah.
But you know, so crazy. Everyone made a big fuss about it, except us, because you know we understand. Right? It's tough losing. It's tough losing, especially when you're in their shoes, his shoes, and the Cleveland Cavaliers. They had one of the best records in the NBA that year.
Right.
Everyone picked you to go to finals.
Well, how much pride do you take? I mean, he'd been to, what, 7-8 straight finals, and you were one of the teams that kept him from going.
Yeah. It was a thrill, man. One thing I do miss the most, I do miss those fans. I do miss the city. The city was electric. And I remember going to a gas station one time, and the guy was going to give me free gas.
Come on.
He was like, keep winning, Arthur, keep winning. And I was like, no, I'm going to still pay for my gas. He's like, no, just go pump. I'm like, no, I'm going to still. And I told him, I'm going to leave this $20 or $30 right here on the counter.
Oh, man. Well, this has been awesome, Rafer. I can't thank you enough. I've been wanting to catch up with you for a while. We've been in touch a little bit the last couple of weeks, and this has been awesome. Yeah. I really appreciate it.
It's awesome, man. I appreciate you guys, man. I'd love to do it again whenever you guys want to call me on. One thing I do hope, I just hope they do have us a reunion, have us come back, because I would
absolutely
love to see those guys. A lot of those guys, like that, you know, and it's so weird. Life is we're around each other, basketball plays every day for a whole season. For like 6 months, 7 months out the season, and for years, and I haven't seen a lot of those guys since. Man, I would love to catch up with some of those
guys.
Is
that right? Well, we have to make that happen. And if you ever come to Orlando, please let us know, because we got to have you come out. And I know the fans would love to see you. And I don't know if anybody has had more talked about in a 29 game regular season and 23 playoff games than what you did and how you galvanized this team. And that's
I miss those fans, man. They welcomed me with open arms.
You're exactly right. Oh man, well that's one of our greatest memories in our history. It was that finals run. And Rafer, this has been awesome catching up. I do appreciate it, and we're gonna do everything to get you back here. Okay, my friend.
Thank you. Looking forward to it.
All right, that's awesome. Rafer Alston, how great was that? Getting to catch up with Skip to my Lou, reminiscing about that 08-09 finals run that the Orlando Magic made against the Los Angeles Lakers. Unfortunately, it didn't go Orlando's way, but I tell you what, we're going to get him again, and we're going to reminisce again, and we're going to unearth some more of these stories. He was fantastic. Long overdue catching up with Skip to my Lou. That'll do it for this edition of Magic Drive Time. Have a great night, everybody. We'll be back with Aaron Berlin. He'll have you ready. The Magic will host the Golden State Warriors. You drop one last night, got to make it up here tomorrow against Golden State. We'll talk to you then.
Our Magic never compromise on the court. And Magic fans don't have to compromise when it comes to diamonds, engagement rings, and fine jewelry. You always get more at International Diamond Center. IDC is Florida's leading jeweler, recognized statewide for excellence in every category, selection, value, and trust. And that's why we've been named Exclusive Jeweler of the Orlando Magic again this year. So come visit one of our 8 showrooms across the state or 24/7 at shopidc.com/gomagic. International Diamond Center, where Magic fans shop for jewelry.
Chick-fil-A has teamed up with the Magic to reward fans with free original chicken sandwiches. If the Magic hit 5 or more three-pointers in a home game, everyone in attendance of that game will win a free original chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A.
Left corner, that's Fournier for three. Got it to go.
People up front.
All you have to do is take your ticket stub or your redemption offer in the Magic app at any participating Central Florida location for a free original chicken sandwich. For official rules, visit OrlandoMagic.com/Chick-fil-A.
You're listening to Magic Drive Time.